It's now 6:46 p.m. We're on flight 442 here, Southwest Airlines Gate A1, January 7th, 2019. The confirmation number here is QJJ28R.
We have the holiday flight for a couple weeks.
We are flying out. Open seating. Boarding group A52. There's a little more at the bottom. WN2F1592. QJJ28R. Just in case you were wondering. As you can hear, little scuffles going on the plane here.
I want to, but I've not.
More on this later. There's a whole lot that's going on right now. There's a whole lot that's going on right now. She was born and raised in a great big old house full of butlers and maids. She says, no one is better than I. I said, I know, I'm just an average guy. No football hero or smooth Don Juan. I got empty pockets. You see, I'm a poor man's son.
Ooh, I'll say it's all right. Ooh, it's right, I know it's out of sight. Ooh. Said, baby, it's all right. I said, right, it's right, it's hard as to say.
Everything is all right. Uptight. Oh, baby. Uptight.
Demon.
Okay, can you please explain what the Howling Moon is?
The Howling Moon is a time of season, and the tribes would stay indoors and keep their children and animals safe because wolves are howling.
On that only on that specific date?
Well, that month.
Oh, so for each month there's a howling moon?
There's a different name of a moon for every month.
So how often do we see the howling moon?
Once a year.
That's only once a year. What's the date usually that it falls on?
January 20th to the 23rd.
Oh, so it's within like a few day period?
Well, it's never the same day because each year changes.
Like Thanksgiving or something.
Right.
So within a few day period or a week period?
Probably within a week.
So within a week period.
Let's see.
So the howling moon could happen within that time. Is it possible for the howling moon to happen on Christmas?
No. The cold moon is the month of December. Howling moon is the month of January.
Cold moon. Okay. Howling moon, month of January. January what?
This year it will be a few minutes after midnight on January 20th. And it will also be a total lunar eclipse, which we won't see again until 2021. And during a total lunar eclipse, it gives the appearance of a rusty color, which is where the blood moon comes in. And it will also be a supermoon because it's at its closest approach to Earth. So it shall be a super blood total lunar eclipse moon.
Did you say that the howling moon could be a blood moon at the same time?
Sure. Any of them could be if a lunar eclipse is going on.
What particular dates do the blood howling moon, how often does that happen?
I don't know.
Is that like an extreme rarity?
It'd be rare that the howling moon falls within a total lunar eclipse. If it does, it would probably be like every 20 years or so.
What would be the most powerful everything kind of thing at once? Like howling moon, you know, cold moon, blood moon, etc., etc., etc.
This one's good. This one coming up is good. We've got a full moon, a total lunar eclipse, making it a blood moon. The moon's also at its closest approach, making it friendly for the people, a super moon.
God, that's incredible.
What do we call it? What are the words? You try to get the general public to be interested.
Oh, the buzzwords.
Buzzwords. Supermoon is a buzzword.
Yeah. It reels
really,
them in.
Really, it's just the moon's closest approach to Earth, making it appear to be about 17% larger.
So I want to do a movie, so a werewolf movie on Christmas, but now that you've told me about the howling moon, now I want to do a movie, you know, werewolf 20th. Movie on the howling moon. It takes
you've
place
on the 20th. You got time. Or you could do it on a total lunar eclipse, which is also the 20th, or next time will be 2021. Get yourself prepared.
Ooh. It'd be good to plan for that specific date in mind. Like, let's say you invent a movie and you plan for that specific date for it to be released on that date, because that movie has to do with that exact event. So it'd be basically in real time. So it'd be so cool where you could, you know, let's say you're saying it happens on a simultaneous lunar eclipse, super moon, freaking full moon, all of that crazy stuff, and happens to happen on that night, and something very supernatural happens in the movie on that specific night, and you agree, okay, in 5 years we're going to release this, we're going to make sure that we release this movie in all these theaters, bam, on this day. So then you give this idea of like, whoa, this is the stuff that happened tonight. This is what's happening tonight. So you feel like, is this actually going to happen? Who knows if you turn into some kind of strange creature? Who knows if you, you know, wouldn't that be interesting if people just, like, it evolves them back into, like, a salamander or something, or some kind of, like, water creature? Have you ever seen the movie Lobster?
Do they have lobster hands?
One would think he would. I don't want to give away any secrets. Okay, I'll give you a spoiler. He doesn't have any. I wish he did.
Isn't he like...
One would hope. Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought he was a lobster.
Is it just called Lobster? Or is it like Lobster Man?
It has something to do with a lobster man. Of sorts.
How old of a movie is this?
Came out, I think, a few years ago. Feral. The other Feral. Wouldn't it be interesting if we found out they're related?
A feral cat?
A feral cat. Just so there are feral cats, there's Will Ferrell, and then there's Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
You know that
guy?
Oh,
that's a dark-haired fella.
Yeah. He was in this movie.
Was it a serious movie? Was it real serial? You guys are
well,
being
it kind of was.
Enough.
It was kind of serial. strangely funny, and yet, like, icky, too, because you're like, whoa, this is the future that these people are living in.
It was slightly... Lobster.
Well, I can't give away that secret.
Well,
I think you need to see it.
Movie, what description would it give me?
Okay, so basically, it takes place in a world where if you're not married by the... Wait. It's either by the time you're 30 or the time you're 40. You will get turned into an animal of your choosing. You have to choose what kind of animal.
That sounds lovely.
So by either 30 or 40, if you don't have a mate, you get turned into an animal. Now,
can the animal have a mate?
People try to make packs like that. You know.
So does he get turned into a lobster?
I can't give away any secrets at all whatsoever.
This information.
So much more of a fun surprise. But it's crazy because it seems slightly like there's a little twinge of Lynch-esque to it. Just a little, like, because it is surreal, you know, in that concept. Rachel Weisz is in it. Did you ever see The Fountain?
No. I didn't know who that
was. Ah, she was in that movie. So it's really, really interesting because these people, they're sent to this sort of a hotel of sorts. People, you know, live in there. And so they're there for, I think, 10 days. Because the reason why he's there is his wife died. So then now he's got to go back into the colony. So if your mate dies, you got to go back into this, like, this sort of little, this little colony, this little hotel.
So does the rule
for 10
still
days
apply? If you're 30 or 40 and not married yet, you turn into an animal if you already
so let's
have
say
a spouse?
Let's say if a character is 60 years old and his wife dies, he's got to go to the colony and find a new spouse within 10 days within this colony. So people are, like, trying to get to know each other and stuff like that, and
quickly.
Yeah.
10 days.
Yeah, and then there are people who try to escape. So then every person staying in the colony is given a rifle with tranquilizer darts. So they all go out hunting the people who are trying to escape. And for every person you catch, you're given another 1 or 2 days on your clock there. So some people try to extend their stay there and really hunt down the others who try to escape. So it's a really weird... It's very Orwellian. It's like 1984 in a very interesting way.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Like The Village sort of mixed with Lady in the Water or something.
Ooh, that's a good way of putting it.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Go ahead and pluck those strings again. I want to get some close-up sounds. Oh, yeah.
song.
Bass!
How low can you go?
Death Row? What a brother know?
Yeah, Chuck!
It's the Incredible!
Yeah!
Here we go. To a lot of Uber drivers, and it's always interesting to hear like their perspective as to how they either got into Uber or what benefits that they can find from being in Uber. And so you got the grumpy spectrum where they're just like, well, I'm stuck in a hamster wheel. The others were going, oh my God, I'm having so many revelations. I'm meeting so many great people. I'm, you know, learning navigation, you know. So it's so cool to hear these different perspectives from these different people as to what they're getting out of it. And it's so much fun because, you know, I'm learning some really interesting stories from some of these people, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't actually work with anybody else, it's just me. But the people that I do meet, you know, obviously I have regular restaurants and regular customers that I go to and see on a daily basis almost. So, you know, you get to know those people, and then you end up getting free food from the restaurants because they know you, and they're like, hey, do you need something to drink?
So
do you
cool.
want some fries?
Wow.
You know, stuff like that.
How interesting. You're getting to see this whole aspect of life that you wouldn't normally, that
yeah.
other people wouldn't normally see. You're starting to kind of learn, you know, these merchants, you know, at these different places. That's pretty cool.
And of course, I get to find different restaurants too, as well, you know, of places that I would like to maybe try out myself or for my family. So it's always fun. I mean, not every day is fun. Some days I could be like, hate everybody.
Do you ever have to deliver, like, what's the biggest amount of food that you've had to bring?
I do catering orders too. So the biggest amount is over $300 worth of food from like Chipotle's or something like that.
So like I'm getting the vision in my, like in my mind of like those, like they look like they're aluminum foil and
mm-hmm.
there's just a bunch of like just, you know,
yep.
chicken and sauces and all
yep.
this stuff slopping around. Now do you have like, do you have a way of like, so you don't spill any of this in your back seat. What do you do?
I have a bag.
You have a bag.
Yeah, I have
that you
a
just
bag
lay out
for
on the back seat.
Yeah, it goes right. The food, most of it goes right into
some
my bag. Just
whoosh, you know.
Yeah, usually they're in boxes already. They're in the containers in boxes, so they're not moving around too much. So either set that in the back of the vehicle, or I put what I can in the bag. And my bag zips up and it stays okay.
Wow, that's so intriguing.
Yeah, it's, and I do Walmart grocery delivery too for DoorDash.
Now, have you ever delivered to someone's house that you knew? And you're like, oh,
yes.
Joey, how you doing, man? You
I know, delivered like, to my cousin the other day.
Incredible.
And then I delivered to my dad's old house that I grew up in.
Wow, that's incredible.
I was like,
that's incredible.
FYI. I used to live here.
The house you grew up in, you delivered to.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's astounding.
Oh my God. Is
that's
it your, one of your names on the back sidewalk? And I'm like, yeah,
oh,
one of those are mine.
What the heck? That's crazy.
Yeah, so.
That is crazy.
Was the house I literally grew
oh my
up
God.
In.
Wow, that is brilliant. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That
it's
is amazing.
Crazy stuff happened.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so.
Wow, was that crazy to be like, to have your current self, like, cross over into that dimension,
yes,
of like your past
I
self.
Was
like, whoa!
Out
I'm living
my
here
old
right
bedroom
now.
Window.
Whoa!
And, like,
so they did they give you a little tour? Like, did they
no,
let you check it out?
No, I didn't want to go in their house anyways. We're not allowed to.
Oh yeah, right.
It's safety basically.
Yeah.
But they built on a garage, closed in garage because we had an open covered garage but not closed in, so they had built that on too, and
wow.
It's just it's different. But it's still my old house, so.
Wow. Are any of your old neighbors still living around in that area?
At that time, no. But the people that I grew up next door to, they had just moved out to up north in Phoenix. So, and I was actually currently living with their daughter. We don't talk
wow,
anymore.
This
now.
Is incredible. I just have a feeling you're going to come across a lot more magical circumstances like that.
Of
I'm
course.
Just listening with sound. I'm not playing.
Either places you either worked at in the past or like other. I mean, your cousin.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought you came across your cousin? That's crazy.
Well, I knew as soon as I saw the address it was going to be my cousin.
This is crazy.
Because
I mean, this is crazy.
It's my aunt's house.
Oh my
you know?
God.
And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh my
so I
God.
Show up and my cousin comes outside to get the food on Walkash too. And he's like, DoorDash. I'm all, nope, sucker. He looks up at me like, oh, hey. I'm all, where's your uncle? Where's uncle? Because my aunt's passed away, so I was wondering where his dad was.
So how soon between that and when you went to your old house was the distance
it was
between?
Like a few months in between those two experiences. Those are my funnest so far at the
So cool you encountered that kind of magic like that.
Yeah.
That's so
I mean
cool.
I've delivered all kinds of places. I've delivered to kitty bars to I met Emmett
Live who?
Emmett Smith. At a Chinese restaurant.
Is that music?
No, he's a football player.
Oh.
At a Chinese restaurant. I don't really watch football either because when he was like, that's my team, it was on TV. And I'm like, cool dude.
Yeah, cool
he's
dude.
He's all, come on. Introduced himself. I'm all, cool dude. Went on about
cool,
my
dude.
Shit. I'm like, okay, nice
cool,
to meet
dude.
You. Right on. Bye. Yeah, I don't give
wow.
a crap.
It's
who
so
you
interesting.
Are.
You're gonna come across so many different people out there now that you just like.
Yeah, he was just sitting at a Chinese restaurant eating
oh my
food
God.
With his wife.
That's incredible.
I was like, right on. Gotta go. Gotta go. Yeah, it's fun. It is. It's definitely changed because I came from corporate world. I used to be a banker.
Oh.
So. This is a big change for me, but I love it. But my passion, obviously, is medical marijuana, and I want to get into that instead.
It's interesting because the Uber drivers I talk to, who they just love that idea of being their own bosses. They love that idea of they're making their own hours, and it's when they want to and how they want to do it. And it's like when they find the enriching aspects, you know, being grateful, mm-hmm. appreciating the, just the conversation in the car, that's always exciting to me, is learning about each of these people and what their hobbies are, what their passions are outside of driving it. You know,
right.
I'm trying to break them outside of the idea of this hamster wheel.
Yeah.
You know, that some of them feel like they're
turn in.
So I'm like, what are your hobbies? Do you like to read? Do you like to play video games? You know, like try to get them like, oh yeah. I'm like, well, maybe you could be a video game tester. You know, maybe you could write a novel.
Right.
So just to kind of plant some of those seeds in their brains. And it's so fun to hear, you know, a lot of these people are just like, wow, yeah, I love the people that we end up picking up. It's so interesting to have the conversations and stuff. But they love that idea of being their own bosses too.
I do too. I just wouldn't do Uber because I don't feel comfortable with anybody else in my car that I don't know. That's my safety kind of feeling. But delivering the food is fine.
I just found out I can do Lyft, even though my car is a 2004, because it's my first time having a four-door car. I found out I could do Lyft, and I was weighing out what, you know, whether I wanted to drive people around. But
what do Gregorian chants, Indian, medieval, and 20th century minimalist music have in common? The drone, a part of musical history for thousands of years, it continues to entrance us today. Now, eight sound artists have transmuted their drones into an immersive cinematic experience. Join us for the Drone Cinema Film Festival on Saturday, January 19th at the Highways Performance Space in Santa Monica, a mesmerizing evening with cinematic tapestries woven from the drones of light and sound. For more, visit highwaysperformance.org.
Special extravaganza every year, and he was tweeting like the mayor, the South Park mayor, and like the principal of the school, like all these just horrible, like your cunt ass licker and all this stuff. And then the next day,
Mr. Hankey was doing this.
And the next day, they're like, Mr. Hankey, you know, sent this tweet. He's like, he's with one of the boys, like Stan or somebody, and they're like, oh, why did you do that? Well, I didn't mean to. I've been taking Ambien. And sometimes when I take Ambien, I feel like this, you know. And he's like, I'm sorry, I will never do it again, you know, because they're threatening to take the parade away from him. So they end up taking the parade away from him, and at the very end, which was funny, because they go, and I guess the Ambien was like a Roseanne Barr thing, because she got fired from her job. Tweeting, like, So they send him away in an Uber. I don't know if they called it a pooper, though, maybe, instead of an Uber. So they send him away, and all the whole town's just watching, and they, at the very last minute, someone says, well, where, what town is going to take a racist, loudmouth piece of shit? You know, what town is going to take him that ends up at, in The Simpsons at the very end? And they're all like, he shows up.
And he ends up where?
In The Simpsons in Springtown.
Oh my God, that's awesome. So they did a crossover?
Around, they're like, who, what town's going to take a piece of shit like him?
That
as he's
is,
going out in the
oh my,
end season. Where are they from? Springfield.
Oh my God, that's incredible. So you were saying, okay, so which episode they taught you about Red Dead Redemption?
Oh, I don't know. They talked about it over the course of like 3 episodes, but it might be the episode of Al Gore and Man Bear Pig.
Man Bear Pig?
And what? Al Gore.
And what happens with Man Bear Pig?
A long time ago, the Man Bear Pig existed. So Man Bear Pig comes because of a deal his Stan and all the boys, his grandfather made and everybody else a long
time ago.
Man
Bear Pig.
Man Bear Pig.
So the family has to, they owe the debt to this creature.
And so the cops sent, and they did school shootings through the whole thing. Like every episode has got a school shooting where nobody's even paying attention. They're just still teaching class, you know, over bullets going in. So the cops, of course, they're like, there's no Man Bear Pig, you know, we're going to arrest these 3 kids. And they arrest 3 of the boys, you know, for school shooting. It's just another school shooting, but it's really Man Bear Pig. Even though there's blood splattered everywhere, claw marks. They're like, it's another school shooting. So they arrest the boys and put them in jail. And the chief of police keeps wanting to hurry. And they're like, we're getting another report of Man Bear Pig. He's like, it's not true, because he just wants to go home and play Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, my
so
God.
So he's just trying to solve stuff really fast. He's like, there's no Man Bear Pigs. He wants to get back home. And then his wife's upset that he's working so much. And when he's at work, he's on Red Dead Redemption. So he gets home one day, and he's like, she'd been on his game. He's like, well, now I don't know this or what happened here. And where did you get? I had this gun. You
oh,
know,
so she was playing his game?
Playing his game, and he came
oh
back
my
home
God.
Upset. And
oh, my God.
So instead of, like, fighting, like, you know, people fight.
Yeah.
So she,
because he missed all these
he
plots.
He left the place, and he's like, or she, I think she said to him first, she's like,
oh, my God.
I'm starting my own life. Forget you. You know, like, they're going to leave each other. Well, she started her own game on Red Dead
oh
Redemption
my.
And surpassed where he was. So then he gets, you know, and he wants to start his own life, and they talk about, well, you know, I didn't want to restart because that blizzard beginning.
Because of that blizzard.
Nobody wants to start.
Oh my God, that's awesome. So
just,
what? So what did they say about the special code? What was the thing
I
that
think
they
the
snuck
cop,
in there?
Like they were trying to, the boys were trying to get the cops to like open the cell or something, and they said they were talking about something. He said something about Red Dead Redemption, and he's like, yeah, but it's just so hard to get from Valentine to here. And like, well, did you know you could sit it on cinematic mode? He's like, what? What? And I think that's how they escaped out of the cell, because they're keeping the cop busy with giving him pointers.
So to let them free, for them to escape, they had to keep giving the cop pointers on how to do Red Dead Redemption stuff?
I don't remember exactly.
Oh my God, that's
great. Talking about it with the cop.
So they said just
like,
go in
what?
Cinematic mode and you'll get there
yeah,
faster?
Yeah, like, just put it in cinematic mode. So I'm like, okay, it's South Park, we're going to try it.
And it turned out to be true. God, that's awesome. It's so cool to know that there are those movies and TV shows out there that are leaving those little Easter eggs for those who are tuned into that. You know, it's like they know about that. It's like, we play Red Dead Redemption as well. We know what
they've
you're doing.
They've done that. They've strung the school shootings and Red Dead Redemption throughout pretty much the whole season so far.
How often do they bring him out?
Stan's dad got tired of living in the city and they moved out to the country because, you know, they're in Colorado, and he started a farm called Tegrity. Tegrity. Products made with Tegrity. And
that's
like
great. Tegrity.
Vape people, you know, they're trying to get away from people who vape and really stick with, you know, smoking pot still. And some guy came by. I can't help but think this every time I see people smoking them now, but some guy came by that owned a vape company and wanted to, like, buy him out because Sharon was complaining, and he's like, it's going to be good. We're going to make this farm. We're going to sell it. We're going to be living on the beach. Well, this guy comes with this, like, huge offer, like, millions and millions of dollars, and he's like, screw you, I ain't taking them pussy sticks. And
oh my god. Oh my god.
So we're here at a secret underground, undisclosed location in Utah. So, what new vinyl releases are you excited about as of late?
Suspiria.
Mm-hmm. When did that come out?
December.
And how many times have you listened to it?
3. I just got it.
What's your favorite cut?
Suspirium.
That's what it's called?
Yes.
And have you seen the movie yet?
No. Not the remake, the original I have.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried listening to this while watching the original?
No, not yet.
You haven't tried
yet? It's a good
idea. It might be a neat, like, Dark Side of the Moon
see
thing.
See if it goes to the first
one. That'd be great. We just invented a brand new thing right now.
Let's try it. Yeah. We could do it.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. So Suspiria, what other new releases? Either that you've recently gotten or you're waiting to get?
Oh, I don't remember what I got before that. And waiting, Record Store Day's coming soon, in the next few months. I think I would remember what month it is since I do it every year. But it's coming soon, so now is when I stock up my funds.
Is that Biz Markie one that I saw? Is that a new one?
No, that's a very old album.
I mean, but is it a new find?
No, I've had it
out. Yeah. A Cure. There's a Cure acoustic I saw up there. Cure acoustic. When did that come out?
That came out on Record Store Day last year or the year before? The year before, two years ago on Record Store Day. And they had a regular one. Oh, it's good because they're picture discs, which are always a good find.
Mm-hmm.
Always good to have. And
you got cool artwork on them, too.
It's beautiful. And so they had two, and when you go to Record Store Day, there might be one, because they're only released to a certain amount to each store. So depending on when you get there, there might be 3 of them, there might be 1, there might be none. And I really wanted the acoustic version more than the regular one. And people that go to the store I go to don't realize that while they're busy looking in the bins, they'll put up some of the rare ones on the wall. So I wait. I'll look without people noticing that I'm looking at the wall. And then I wait till everybody's busy and I'll like snag what I want real quick. And I saw The Cure up there, and a girl was looking for a Cure album. Anybody seen The Cure? I saw it on the wall, and it happened to be the acoustic one. There was only one. That was the last one, so I got that one.
How many songs are on that one?
I don't know, but it's a double LP, so...
Has it ever been released before? I've never even heard that it had even existed until now.
No, it was Record Store Day release. That's what Record Store Day is for, special releases only come out.
But I guess I've never even heard of, like, cassette tapes of it even being released.
I've never heard it ever in my life. It's the first time.
The song sounded so good.
Yeah.
What else was newer that you got?
The Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke Anniversary Edition with the Pot Leaf LP and the Scratch and Sniff sticker.
Oh, yeah. Did you play it yet?
The Crush Groove. Yes, I
Crush
did.
Crush Groove, I saw that
Crush
one.
Crush Groove soundtrack, which is a great movie, by the way. That was new.
Is it a breakdancing movie?
Yeah, it's everybody when they started it focuses around the Fat Boys, Run DMC, Rick Rubin's in there, Beastie Boys are in there for maybe 5 seconds. They come out and perform and everybody boos them off the stage. They're really young then. I think Sheila E.'s in it. Curtis Blow,
Kid and Play,
old school. Kid and Play is not part of that scene. No, there's no Kid and Play.
Is there a surprise appearance by Eddie Murphy singing "My Girl Wants to Party All the Time"? Was that in there?
No, he's not in there.
Oh.
But really, really young Run DMC, Russell Simmons, really young Rick Rubin, super young Beastie
Sheila
Boys.
E.
Or is it, which one plays the joke? Yeah, Sheila E. Who's Sheena E? That was like the Prince
chick. Sheena Easton.
Sheena Easton?
Yeah, there's Sheena Easton and then Sheila E.
Sheila
E
is the one that plays the drums, though.
I think that's her. Yeah, the percussionist.
Yeah, that's the one that's in the movie. That's Sheila E.
Yeah, is that the one that Prince was with?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he even produced a Sheena Easton song. We don't even know it.
Sure he did.
He seems to have written a lot for a lot of folks. Do you have the Prince, what is it, Prince and a Piano or something? Do you have that? That was an album that came out.
So recently, I told you, a friend of mine that I haven't seen in a long time was like, I've got these records I've been hauling around for 35 years and... I saw you post something, and, well, I don't want them. I don't want to throw them away, so I figured you can come by and pick them up. So I picked him up, and he listens to a lot of, like, he got all his stuff from some, like, R&B collections. So there's a lot of R&B in there, but there's a lot of really good jazz, and there's even a Duran Duran album in there, which was surprising coming from this person. And there were a few Prince albums in there. There are now 3 Michael Jackson albums. I don't have any Michael Jackson on vinyl until now. I do finally. So there's some good stuff in what I just got. I haven't flipped through it all yet.
What Michael Jackson's did you see that you remember?
Thriller, Off the Wall, and Beat It were the 3 LPs that were in there. Which are pretty much the main ones to have. So that was the score. There's like Herbie Hancock in there. I'm trying to think. There's some good stuff in there. It's a good score. For free 50.
That's awesome. Was Hannah going to try to paint on him?
Not on my albums. Hales, no.
So Hales, does she... No. I'm getting this idea that you're like the security check. Like she...
Well,
like she makes
mine.
Sure that... Well, I'm just imagining, like, when she goes out and she, you know, brings them in.
She runs them by me first before she paints on them. Or she'll call me and tell me.
How many nuggets have you saved?
Two. Yeah. Because she's been mostly sticking with, like, these Time Life series albums. I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. But there was, like, some Calypso one. I snatched that up right away. I'm like, oh, no. Well, I figured
no,
Calypso.
No.
I'm like, oh, no, I'm taking that one.
Yeah,
she runs them by me first. She knows. Because I'll be, every time I see, that's all she does now. So she's producing them, you know. And I'm like, what album did you paint that on?
Yeah.
Oh, it was this, you know. It was How to Bake, you know, Betty Crocker LP. Oh, okay. But yes, there is a system in place. They are run by me first. People who know me know.
My God.
Oh, you might see Dash. There's a...
What new albums are coming out that... either you never heard of yet, and you're like, what? I didn't know that existed. Kind of like in the Cure acoustic thing kind of situation. Is there anything else that's kind of like that?
Not that I know of right now. I'm waiting for the Record Store Day list to come out.
Do you see a lot of the similar folks at these?
Yeah, I see the same people at the same store.
Is everyone... I'm getting this idea that everyone kind of has gotten an idea as to what each other... kind of likes? Like, do they watch out for each other, help each other out, or is it kind of like a...
It's kind of a free-for-all. It's kind of a little frightening. Yeah, people reaching over you, sometimes a little... possibly a little shoving. For the most part, people are pretty kind.
Possibly a little shoving. I'm just imagining you with, like, a hockey helmet.
You just gotta...
Here you are with your hockey helmet.
You gotta flip in there fast, you know?
Yeah,
and it depends on where you go, too. Like...
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying the name of the place I go to because I don't want to get
infiltrated.
Don't do it. But it's a local record store versus, like, Zia does Record Store Day. Well, Zia is a big corporation, and I'll go there if the other places, if I search, you know, 3 other privately owned ones and they don't have it. I found another one that I'd never been to before. I went there after my usual place, and that's where I got the Cheech and Chong album because they didn't have it at my... usual place, and instead of giving up, because I was only getting 3 last year, normally I get, I don't know, way too many, like 8, 9, 10, and I narrowed it down to 3 last year, and that was on my list. So So it was a cool shop, and they had like 10 copies of it, which was weird.
How many albums would you say are in the Dizzy D archives?
Currently, it's not that large. Let's say 500.
Because you probably have a storage facility someplace where you got more, don't you?
No, I haven't got a storage facility.
So you could open up your own shop.
I could, absolutely.
I've seen some of these shops where it's almost like the width of an alley. There was a shop in Wheaton, Illinois, where we grew up. And there was a candy shop, and it was in the width of, like, an alley. So one person at a time could go in there, but there was enough for, like, a tiny little shelf. And they would have all the craziest little candies and stuff in there. I can imagine a record store like that with your records up on the walls. Now, how many can you imagine?
And a candy store combined.
Oh, and a candy store. Ooh, that's good.
And then you'd only play I Want Candy.
That's it. Just over and over and over and over. There'd be no mistaking what the theme song is.
Yeah.
There'd just be no mistaking it. Maybe even with a combination of a costume shop in the back, too, for Halloween. For Halloween products.
Got enough stuff.
Yeah. Got enough stuff. How many of your records would you're saying that you see some of these that are up on a wall. We're like, oh, there's that one. Mm-hmm. How many years would you stick up? Would you stick up on the wall? How'd you even know what to decide
how
to stick
many,
up on a wall?
How many did I get obtain from the wall? Or how
no, how many,
many
would
do
you
I
like?
Think
it, let's say
to put on the wall.
Well, yeah, like let's say when the time comes and your future self has her own record store, what would be those ones? Or some
well,
of them?
Those would be all the rare Record Store Day releases, any picture vinyl. Anything original, flexi discs, the Bismarcky flexi disc that came in the first issue of Beastie Boys Grand Royal magazine, things like that. Things
and then you're also kind of pricing it as to how much you're willing to part with it by, too, right? Because you're like, oh, I don't want to see it go.
That's the tough part. That's why I have so many, because I can't let them go.
$10,000, right?
Yeah, so it's all, like you're the actor. Nah, you know, I bought it for like $25. I'm like, I don't know if I can let it go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. So with the record store, what I would end up doing is
buying duplicates?
Buy duplicates of everything. Yeah. Keep one for myself and sell the rest.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm still a hoarder.
And so yours becomes the blueprint model for what the store is.
My business would be just floating above water.
Floating. Yeah.
just floating. Treading water at all times, making it happen.
Oh my God.
Someone goes to, can you tell me how much that is? It's not for sale.
Sorry, that one's just not for sale.
But it's on the shelf with a sticker. It's not for sale. Can't see it here.
Gosh, that'd be so difficult, because you'd be eating up your profits too. That's the funny thing too.
That's what I was saying.
That's
I'd
the
be
tricky
barely
one.
Treading above water, trying to keep a business running.
Oh, that's
because I'm keeping everything.
So tricky.
I wonder how Record Store Day works with owners when there's only a certain number. Like, do they snatch them up for themselves and not say anything?
God, because that's tricky too, because those rare albums, let's say if you don't put them for sale, now it becomes sort of a museum of sorts that people want to visit and just be like, oh my God, it's like going to a comic book shop that has the first Spider-Man. You're like, dude, you got to check out that comic book shop. There's that first Spider-Man up on the wall. And it's like one of those things of like, if they sell that first Spider-Man, you know, and then it's gone, you know? So, I mean, I can imagine that being very, very difficult to try to decide what you're going to sell.
He's a little troublemaker.
What are you troublemaking over there? What are you troublemaking?
Princesa.